Hey, well, I tell you what, turn with me to Psalm 136 tonight. Got two messages on my mind here. I may take off in one and jump over to another, but actually they're tied together, truly. And Psalm 136 is a wonderful song, as the Psalms are, a song of praise. And this particular song, if you'll read 2 Chronicles chapter number 5, when they were dedicating the temple, this song is the song they sung. So it's a song of dedication, it's a song of praise, and it's reminding the people, and Solomon's just built that magnificent temple, glorious temple, and he says, sing this song. Here it is. This is what they sing as they dedicated the temple to God. And that temple was truly a wonder of the world. It really was. No other one's been built as magnificent as that temple. But I'm going to outline a few things right here. I was going to speak on the fullness of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, actually, tonight. And I won't say I was going to. That was on my mind, too. But truly, Psalm 136, in this Thanksgiving week, it's the fullness of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit that lets you recognize these things. It helps you and I to see this tonight. I think it's so very important. We're living in a day of ungratefulness and ingratitude, and folks don't thank God for anything. Matter of fact, for the most part of America, we're without a doubt the most unthankful people, you know, that ever was. We're the most unthankful folk in America, not our church, but in America as a whole, we're the most unthankful. Y'all hear a whine? Is that me? Am I whining? Oh, the trumpet is... What are you all still here for? That's what I, you know, huh? What am I still... Yeah, that's the main thing. What are you still here for? Golly. But anyway, the trump shall sound one day, and we shall all be up there. But, you know, and we're in a world, but you and I don't have to get caught up in that. That is a lie and a philosophy of the devil to keep you and I from being thankful. If you'll notice, as our Lord encourages prayer all the way through, in his Gospels, and he talks about prayer, and he's the most encouraging one in prayer. He's always thanking his Father. Here he is, God. He thanks his Father. Paul thanks God for everything. David thanks God. David and Paul, some has said, are the most thankful people in the Scriptures other than the Lord Jesus, who himself, here he is, God, walking in flesh, and then he prays, he thanks the Lord. And you remember in John chapter number 11, when he calls Lazarus forth, he said, I thank thee, O God. Thank thee, O Father, for hearing me. Here he is. He just said, I'm the resurrection and the life. You're looking at him. I'm God. I'm it. But then he's thankful. And Satan's design today is to take our joy, which is the fruit of the Spirit, take that peace, another fruit of the Spirit. Take that love, another fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, first three fruits of the Spirit. Or actually, I think the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then the rest of them are just attributes of what love is. But take that fruit. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to take that away and make people think that God's not good. And number one, if you get them to think there is no God, they just naturally won't think him. But deep within the human heart, deep within the human soul, that part which communicates with the Lord, the Spirit, deep within the spirit of every human being is a, and it may be a tiny little flicker, but it is the knowledge that they were created. There is a God. They know that. Now they can refuse it all they wish, and they can come up with every reason and excuse that there's not, but deep within their heart, God put it there, is that knowledge. Even an atheist, that I told you the story of how he was saved back here in my study, and even him, he said these words, He said, I don't believe there's a God. I never wanted to believe there's a God. But today I want to know, I really believe there is a God. And he's right. He met that God that day. So I'm saying to you and I, we cannot allow the devil to take such a song as this, Psalm 136, away from us, and this joy and wonderful peace that we have, the fruit of the Spirit. Listen at this. Listen to this psalm. I'm going to divide it up here a little bit for you so you'll understand what he's talking about. First of all, in these first five verses, he's telling us that Jesus is Lord of all creation. He's Lord of all creation. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And notice it's the capital A, O, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah is the word. Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah, which is all the titles of God, I think, wrapped up in the one. Give thanks unto the Lord Jehovah, for he is good. We've sung that tonight. It's been sung over and over. And notice this, his mercy endureth forever. He is good. He's Jehovah. He's everything. Give thanks to him, and his mercy endures forever. Reminding us. Look at verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. He's the Lord Jehovah. Now he's the God of gods. He's the God above all gods. There are no gods. Oh, demon gods and demon representatives, but no gods besides the only true and living God. And he is the God, the covenant-keeping God. One of the titles, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, there in Genesis 1. It's the word, it's the name Elohim, which is the covenant or the promise-keeping God. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. That is mercy. Notice the mercy is tied to every one of these verses. So he's Jehovah in verse number 1. He give the Lord Jehovah. He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. He's over all the gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. The Lord of lords. There is, you notice that is not capital L-O-R-D as in verse number 1. But here is the one, here is this thought of the one that is above all of the, quote, earthly lords and rulers and prime ministers and kings. He's the Lord of all the lords. That's who he is. And guess what? His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. To him who alone does great works. For his mercy endureth, great wonders rather, for his mercy endureth forever. He's still talking about the Lord, that's the Lord of all creation. His mercy endures forever, but he does great works. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. In him that stretcheth, to him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. Stretched out the earth above the waters, and the waters, and put them in one place. Notice in verse number 7, 8, and 9, Jesus, the light of the world, not only is the Lord of creation, to him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. So when you go out tonight, I think it's supposed to be clear tonight, you look up and you see that moon, you see the stars, just say, give thanks unto the Lord. His mercy endures forever. That moon's proof of it. Right there it is. Those stars are proof of it. That sunshine today when we left church, boy, the sky was blue, blue. There was not a cloud in the sky. There wasn't a jet streak, which is unusual. There was not a jet streak or a cloud right above the church here, and I thought, we were just looking at it out of the windshield of the car, and wow, blue, blue, blue. His mercy endureth forever. He's the Lord of lords. He's the God of all gods. He is Lord Jehovah. And when you see the moon, just say, hey, his mercy endures forever. There's a testimony of it. The sun, there's a testimony of it. The stars, there's a testimony of it. His mercy endures forever. The moon, the stars, to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. That is our Lord. And Jesus, we're reminded that he is the light of the world. He is this light. Oh, he put the moon there for us, and that's wonderful. The moon does not have a source of light itself. It just reflects what the sun is, and that's so much like the church. The church is like the moon, and the moon's like the church. We just reflect the sun. That's all we do. We're just reflecting the sun. And the Spirit-filled life and the Spirit-filled Christian just reflects the sun. That's who we are. And that's what this psalmist is singing about. The moon, stars. I can almost hear them sing as they go up to the temple. They're dedicating the temple. And there's thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people gathered around. Solomon has built it. David prepared all of the materials needed. Solomon's now built it. And they're singing this song and they're praising their Lord. His mercy endures forever. Notice in verse number 10, he begins a section here that Jesus is the Lord of hosts. I like this. Look at in verse 10. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endures forever. Now let me stop here a minute. Do you notice in verse number 10, this mercy that endures forever, this Lord of the moon and the Lord of the stars and the Lord of all creation, the God that's above all gods, the Lord Jehovah, the Lord of lords, the God above all gods, this one whose mercy endures forever, mercy was offered to Egypt, and Egypt wouldn't have it. Mercy was offered to Pharaoh. Pharaoh wouldn't have it. Moses came and said, hey, the God, Jehovah, the I Am said, let my people go. Let them go. God said. Oh, Pharaoh in his pride and arrogance said, who's this God that I should obey him? You know, who's he? Well, he soon learned after the plague started happening. But still, his heart was hardened. And everything God sent, instead of breaking his heart was hardened. It could have been broken. It could have been redeemed. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. But the hand of God, sometimes called, many times in Scripture, called the right hand of God, which I believe represents the Lord Jesus as well, who's seated at the right hand of the Father. The right hand of God that brings and gives mercy to humanity and mercy to creation. He has a left hand that is judgment. If the right hand is refused, the left hand of God that brings a judgment when the right hand is refused. I mentioned last Sunday morning that this God, he's not one to be trifled with. This is a God that, as I said just now, his right hand extends mercy and it endures forever. But his left hand is there that if mercy is rejected, then the judgment of God is there as well. And that's what happened to Egypt here. Had a fellow ask me one time, said, how do you explain that God hardened Pharaoh's heart? He did it on purpose. He didn't want Pharaoh to repent. And I said, no, that's not the case. It wasn't he didn't want Pharaoh to repent. He gave Pharaoh the opportunity to repent. And you know he did because he sent Moses every time to warn him beforehand. He warned him. Now that's mercy. He warned him beforehand. The plague's coming, Pharaoh. The plague's coming. So what? Bring it on. I can handle it. Well, he found out he couldn't. But yet he sent a warning. He sent mercy. Well, what did when it says God hardened the heart of Pharaoh? Here's what it is. God's action hardened the heart of Pharaoh. It wasn't that God purposely hardened his heart. It's that God, being God, knew the old hard heart of Pharaoh, but yet he was giving him mercy. He was giving him the opportunity to repent. So every time he'd send Moses to warn him, and mercy was extended. But that hard-hearted fella The right hand of mercy was rejected, so the left hand of judgment came down upon him. And that's what Psalm 136 reminds us of. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. And we say, oh, what a judgment it was. It was. But mercy was offered beforehand. He was warned beforehand, and he would not receive this God. And it says that to God that smote Egypt in their firstborn, his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. In one night, a nation was born. In one night. They didn't have time to do much packing. They only could bring their bread troughs and their kneading troughs and some items and get out of there. God says, get them out. I'll take care of them. You bring them out, Moses. He brought out Israel from among them because his mercy endures forever. Verse 12, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endures forever. And don't forget, he's saying to them, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And we say, give thanks unto the Lord, because with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, his mercy endures forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to him. And when you come to a Red Sea, when you come to waters that you don't think you can ever get across, and the floods are there, he'll part them for you. He'll part those waters for you. He's a God. Remember, his mercy endures forever. That's the reason this is tied to that. That not just indicating, oh, it's just the one act where the Red Sea and the waters were parted, and that'll never be repeated. Well, there is a typology there of our sins being forgiven. When we come out of Egypt as sinners, we come out of Egypt, the Lord forgives our sins, and he parts the Red Sea, and we march across, and he's never going to part it again for us to go back. That's a wonderful picture of salvation in that sense. But also, remember right here, he says his mercy endures forever, indicating the fact what he done with the Red Sea, he can do for your sea. He can do for my sea. He can do for my flood. He can do for my ocean that's in front of me that I'm thinking, how on earth can I make it? I'm trying to think of the fellow, World War II pilot, that Rickenbacker, I believe was his name. But anyway, he, famous World War II pilot, and his plane was shot down. They landed, crash landed somewhat in the ocean. They was able to get their life raft out, and the men piled in it, and for days they floated in that raft out in the ocean. And he was a praying man. They were all wondering, will we ever be picked up? Well, will anybody ever see us in this vast ocean? And he said, amazing, God would send a seagull by. And they'd grab that seagull and kill it and eat it. And they was sustained for several days. The Lord would send a seagull. And now think about that. Land on a raft, and a seagull would land there. They would kill it, drink a little as much as they could take of the salt water, and survive till they were picked up. And I read his story. I think he's passed on now. But he gave this story. He gave all the credit to God. Gave all the credit to the Lord, whose mercy endures forever, that sustained him. He said, we would have perished. There was no way to get fish. There was no way to get anything. And God sent a seagull that would land on that raft. And from that time on, the rest of his life, he lived on oceanfront property. He'd go down and feed the seagull that would come in. He said, they saved my life. I'm going to sustain them as long as I have the privilege. His mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and a stretched out arm, verse number 12, his mercy endures forever. That's how he brought them out. Not weak, but mighty, showing the mightiness of God. to him which divided the Red Sea into parts. Verse 14, he made Israel to pass through it, still talking about it, made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. The Lord says, hey, here comes Israel marching across on dry land. I brought them out, the mightiness of God, the waters rolled back, and they marched across on dry ground. Pharaoh's following behind them. He sees them marching. What you would think in anybody's brain is, wow, we shouldn't be messing with this God. We ought to fall down in repentance and say, hey, God, forgive us. You've already, you know, we got thousands of graves back in Egypt because that we were hard-hearted and you slew the firstborn. They died. Only ones in Egypt that were saved, by the way, of that group were those babies. Don't you forget that. Those babies. Well, here they march across the Red Sea. Israel does. And here comes old Pharaoh. And instead of a repentant heart, his heart is getting harder and harder. He wants vengeance. In his mind, he's blinded by that. Just like Satan was blinded when sin was born in his heart. And he looked up to God and said, you know what? I can make my throne above his throne. Here's this created being, and the mighty creator made Lucifer. And Lucifer says, hey, all these other folks, all these other angels look up to me. I do have this power. I do have this ability. I think I'll take over. How foolish. Pride born in his heart. Sin born in his heart. Originated in the heart of the devil. And in that look of pride, the Lord dismissed him out of heaven. War in heaven. The angels defeated Satan's angels, cast him down to the earth. And there he is, and he's still working in the minds of people to think they can overrule God. And that's in Pharaoh's mind. By the way, I was reading not too long ago, Pharaoh drives right into that dry ground, you know, the Red Sea's on the seas rolled up on each side. I can imagine that. I can just imagine it. I'm thinking there's got to be a wall of water here and a wall of water there. He can see it, perhaps a bass jumping around in this one and that and over there. He sees it. He's going right across. By George, I'll go just like that. And the Lord just closes the waters up. And there, the place is, again, the waters rush over and the Red Sea covers it all. Archaeologists have discovered chariot wheels in the bed of the Red Sea. Some said, how'd they get there? Well, guess what? They got there, and we just read the story. They got there. They've discovered that in the Red Sea under layers and layers of dirt. They've discovered chariot wheels. So his mercy endures forever, but mercy was rejected. Notice this too in verse number 16, to him, give thanks to him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. He led them through the wilderness. He'll lead you through your wilderness. He'll lead me through mine. His mercy endures forever. If his mercy stopped, if there was a spot here where we could say his mercy stops, I could come up with the thought that I may go through something that he's not going to part the waters, or he's not going through the wilderness with me. But it says his mercy endures forever. So give thanks to this Lord of Lords, this God of Gods, this Jehovah, this Creator, this Light. Give thanks to him that led his people through the wilderness after he got them through the Red Sea. Because his mercy endures forever. That's my Lord. Then he begins listing some. It doesn't mean much to us, but it would to the Jewish people. It would to those singing there at the presentation of the temple and the dedication of the temple. It definitely means something to them, because he begins listing famous kings, mighty kings, mighty warriors. He begins to name them. To him which smote great kings, verse 17, for his mercy endures forever. And he slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to him that took, not only led them through the wilderness, but brought them to the promised land and slew the kings that were in opposition to them and the kings that would not repent and come to God. These kings he slew. Again, the right hand of God extends mercy forever. The left hand of God is judgment. And that judgment came against these kings, and they wiped them out. Even though Israel was outnumbered 1,000 to 1 in many cases, God took care of it. He didn't need Israel's assistance. This is the same Lord. Give thanks unto him, for his mercy endures forever. And he gave them a heritage. He gave them vineyards they didn't plant. He gave them fields that they didn't plant to harvest. He gave them all of that. Our God did this. Our Lord. He does the same for you and I. Let us not forget this. Let us have a thankful heart in the days when Satan is so busy wanting to harden the hearts of people and the church as well and get us sidetracked and not seeing the greatness of God and the goodness of God and the power of our God, whose mercy endures forever. Remember, he's the Lord Jehovah. He's the Lord of lords. He's the God above all gods. He's the God that has all strength. He has the God that has all power. Nature is at his command. He does whatever he wishes to do. That's my Lord. That's my God, your God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And notice down here in verse 23 through 26. Here is our Jesus who loves us. This is so wonderful. Who remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endures forever. Now we could might understand how that for a nation, the nation of Israel, the children of Abraham, oh, Father Abraham, that famous pioneer of faith, that we all by faith are children of Abraham, the Bible tells us, that Father Abraham, we could understand how the Lord would be faithful to him. Because he stepped out and left everything and came to a land and a country that God said, I'll show you. When Isaac, when he said, Abraham, offer Isaac, Abraham without hesitation took Isaac, and Isaac without hesitation went with his father. And on Mount Moriah, Abraham took the knife in his hand and Isaac was laid there, ready to plunge it in his heart. God said, don't do that. I have my own Isaac. I don't need yours. I just wanted your heart. And old Abraham's heart was in the hand of God. We could see and look and say, I can understand why he's taking care of Israel. I can understand why God's over them, because, boy, Abraham was faithful. He's the father of the Jews, and I can understand that. I can understand why he might be famous or might be very faithful to those great people of the past and great Christians and folks like Paul and folks like Peter and folks like John that laid in the bosom of Christ and John the Beloved. Folks like this, I can understand that. But then the Lord said, just in case you forget, praise the Lord because he remembered us in our lowest state. For his mercy endures forever. He remembers you and I just as, can we say, slaves to Satan, groveling in the dust, in the dirt, beat up, without hope in this world, without any Christ, without anybody that cared. And Jesus says, hey, remember, I remembered you in your low estate. Your mercy, my mercy endures forever. He's redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Don't forget, give thanks, because he remembered us when we were the lowest of the low. He remembered us because his mercy endures forever, and redeemed us from our enemies, brought us away from the devil. Ephesians chapter number 2 tells us that we are joint heirs with Christ. He purchased us, ye who were sometimes, and we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were the worst and the least. And the Lord says, I remembered you. My mercy endures forever. And he does, and he has. And verse 25, and also, don't forget, he gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. I told you about the famous World War II pilot. He said, if God, and he tells it, he says, if God had not sent us a seagull, we'd have all died. But he did. He gives food to all flesh. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Don't let the devil whisper in your ear that God has ceased to be good. He's ceased to be in control. He's ceased to be the Lord of lords, the God of gods, Jehovah, the creator, the light, the one that handles our rivers and handles our forests and wildernesses we go through. The one that feeds us when we're not able to feed ourselves. The ones that cares for us. I was back when it was so dry here for days. We had about a week and a half. It was so dry. And I was thinking about, I see the squirrels running around, the birds and everything here, and squirrels working. And I got to thinking. I thought, now there's no creek around here. Where's them little rascals get any water? How do they drink anything? They don't knock on the door and ask for a bottle like this. Where do they get their water? And the Lord let me see that one morning, and I shouted. I said, glory, hallelujah. Here's these squirrels running around, the birds. And the condensate off this metal roof, it got cold in the night, and the sun hit it, and the water started flowing off the gutter and flowed down to the downspouts. And I saw a squirrel run over there to a downspout and get him a drink of water. And I went, well, well, well. That verse that David said, Lord, I see the birds. I see them building a nest in your temple. I thought, right here's the church of God, and the gutter's got water in it. Just from condensate, it hadn't rained in days. And the old squirrel knew where to get him a drink. The birds would do the same thing. I came by and I saw the birds. They would be right at the end of these downspout, those corrugated, and they'd be getting them a drink of water. God supplies food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. You can be assured of that, folks. This wonderful song they sing is very current for us today. Don't you dare let the devil take that away from you. Our Lord is good. You may need, in another application, he may have a downspout of water for you. He may have something that is totally out of the ordinary like that to supply for you. That's just God. He does those things. Hallelujah. He is mindful. I thought about the fact when I saw birds that would go and they'd be at the end of these downspouts around here and getting them a drink of water. I saw that one day. One day it was so dry and we had a 5-minute rain. I mean, it couldn't have been more than that. 5-minute rain. And back here where the Red Sea is, you know, when we at the end of the walkway here, we always have a little puddle of water. Downspouts run off there. And 5-minute rain. I came down off the hill from the preschool, and there was a whole group of birds over there getting them a drink, enjoying it. The Lord gives that. Now, if a sparrow cannot fall to the earth, but what? He attends the funeral. Did you think of that? He not only knows it, but he attends the funeral of every sparrow that falls. Don't you know he knows you and your problems and who you are and where you are and the sea you're facing or the wilderness you're facing or the shortages you're facing? He knows, and not only knows, ultimately supplies. Bless his holy name. Oh, Dr. Roy Gibson, my grandfather in the faith, I miss him terribly. But Brother Roy, who won Brother Bob Daugherty to the Lord, Brother Roy was telling me he could see things. He and C.O. Roach and Bob, they could see things and just make application so well with the scriptures. But Roy was, he was preaching a meeting somewhere, and a real cold spell came through, and he said it iced up, and they couldn't have church that particular night or even that weekend, I think he said. But he said he was sitting in the prophet's chamber, sitting back there. They'd called the service off, and everything was iced over. He said, man, it was so cold and ice everywhere. He said, I saw a covey of little birds. I don't know what kind they were. I saw them come out there, and they were pecking around that ice. Couldn't get a thing. He said, I thought, boy, I wish if I had a piece of bread, I could throw out to them. He said, I got to looking around in the prophet's chambers there if there's anything to throw out to these birds. He said, they couldn't get a thing. And he said, I'd been looking for several minutes, and he said, I heard a truck, and it had chains on, he said, because it was so slick. And he said, I looked out, and sure enough, he said, here come what we'd call a box truck, or one that's like a U-Haul truck, but it wasn't a U-Haul. It was a one-ton or ton-and-a-half truck, and he said it was a box truck, had chains on. So that thing pulled up, and there was a little store across the road from the church. He said it pulled up there in that icy, snowy place. And he said, I got to looking, man, what's he doing out in weather like this? And the guy gets out and slipping and sliding, holds to the truck, and goes back there and opens the door and opens it. And he said, you'd never believe it, but he said grain had felt a sack in that thing. It was a feed store. He said a sack in that thing had opened up, and grain fell out on this iced over road. And he said, boy, them little birds went, and they run over there. Man, they started eating. And Roy said, I thought, wow, that's just God that would do that. So he said, I opened the door enough where I could yell at the guy and say, hey, I got a question. He said, yeah, what is it? He said, how long you been running with that load? Oh, he said, I left a couple of days ago. You did? Yeah, left a couple of days ago. He said, I loaded that back, and he named several states over, back over there, and they always order from us, and it took me a couple of days to get here. So he said, that grain was loaded then. Yeah, he said, it's pretty weather over there. And Brother Roy said, I just shouted, said, glory, hallelujah. 2 days ago, God prepared for these birds here that needed something today. And 2 days ago, he threw a sack in there that busted open so that now when this truck got right there, he could open the door and them old birds have something to eat. They used to say, God does that? Yeah. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks that created it all and keeps it all and goes through the wilderness through you and through the waters with you. Hallelujah. Mama used to sing a song. All glory to Jesus, who died in my place. Alone and rejected was he, but bless his dear name through his marvelous grace. He ransomed a poor sinner like me. Hallelujah, 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 amen. I'm as happy as a poor soul could be. I was lost and Jesus found me, placed his loving arms around me. What a wonderful Savior is he. This world in its darkness and folly was lost when Jesus came down from above to purchase salvation. His life was the cost. What wonderful, wonderful love. Hallelujah, 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 amen. I'm as happy as a poor soul could be. I was lost and Jesus found me, placed his loving arms around me. What a wonderful Savior is he. The angels in sadness look down from the throne. If sadness in heaven could be, while Jesus was dying for all of his own, yes, dying for you and for me. Hallelujah, 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 amen. I'm as happy as a poor soul could be. I was lost and Jesus found me, placed his loving arms around me. What a wonderful Savior is he. That's your Savior. That's your Lord. And he did that for you. You remembered me, Jesus, in my low estate. And he still does. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being there, as Psalm 136 says. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of Lords, the God of gods, the Creator, whose mercy endures forever. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Let us have thankful hearts. Rebuke Satan's attacks against our mind, the Lord rebuke him right now in the name of Jesus, through the blood of Christ, by the power of the resurrection, for attacking the minds and the hearts of our people gathered here tonight, those watching, and our folks who couldn't be here and are not here, Father. Rebuke all of Satan's attacks against them in the name of Jesus Christ, in Jehovah's name, and by the power of the Spirit, rebuke him now and shut his mouth against us. We praise your holy name, cause your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you.